The third Sunday of Lent. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. Jesus came to the Samaritan town called Sychar, near the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well is there, and Jesus, tired by the journey, sat straight down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "What? You a Jew, and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Jews, in fact, do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If you only knew what God is offering, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water." "You have no bucket, sir," she answered, "and the well is deep. How could you get this living water? Are you a greater man than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, with his sons and his cattle?" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to eternal life." "Sir," said the woman, "give me some of that water, so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." "Go and call your husband," said Jesus to her, "and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." And he said to her, "You are right to say, 'I have no husband,' for although you had five, the one you have now is not your husband. You spoke the truth there." "I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, while you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour will come, in fact it is here already, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshipper the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah, that is Christ, is coming, and when he comes he will tell us everything." "I who am speaking to you," said Jesus, "I am he." At this point the disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, "What do you want from her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to town to tell the people, "Come and see the man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ." This brought people out of the town, and they started walking towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples asked one another, "Has someone been bringing him food?" But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. Have you not got a saying, 4 months and then the harvest?' Well, I tell you, look around you. Look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid his wages. Already he is bringing in the grain for eternal life, and thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good: one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap a harvest that you had not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come into the rewards of their trouble. Many Samaritans of that town had believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony when she said, "He told me all that I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came up to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days, and when he spoke to them, many more came to believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we no longer believe because of what you told us. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that he really is the Saviour of the world."
Jesus is travelling through the mountainous area of Samaria with his first 12 disciples who are not yet to be chosen as apostles. Arriving at the village of Sychar, the disciples buy food while Jesus, tired after the long journey, rests by a well. He sees a Samaritan woman and says to her, "Peace be with you, woman. Will you give me some water to drink? I've walked a long way and I'm thirsty." "Are you not a Judean? And you ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you a drink? Oh, a great event must have taken place if a Judean speaks kindly to a Samaritan woman. I should say to you, I will not give you anything to punish you for all the insults the Jews have been heaping on us for centuries." "You are right," says Jesus. "A great event has taken place. If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' perhaps you would have asked him to give you a drink, and he would have given you living water." The woman says, "Living water is in the veins of the earth. It's in this well, but it's ours." Her tone is scornful and arrogant. And Jesus replies, "Water comes from God. Everything belongs to the one only God, woman, and all men come from God, Samaritans and Judeans. I don't wish to offend you or your race, so why do you wish to strike an offensive attitude?" She says, "You're the first Judean whom I hear speak like this. The others..." "The well is very deep. You have neither amphora nor bucket. How could you, therefore, draw living water for me? Are you greater than our holy patriarch Jacob, who found this abundant vein for himself, his sons and his cattle, and left it to us as his souvenir and gift?" "You are right," says Jesus, "but whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again. I also have a water, and whoever drinks it will not be thirsty again, but it is only mine, and I'll give it to whoever asks me for it. I solemnly tell you that whoever has the water I give him will always be satisfied and will never be thirsty again, because my water will be an unfailing eternal spring. Give me some of that water if you really have it. I get tired of coming here, and if I have it, I'll not be thirsty anymore and will never be ill or become old." "Is that the only thing of which you get tired?" asks Jesus. "Of nothing else? And you feel only the need of drawing water to drink and satisfy your poor body? Think about it. There's something more important than your body, your soul." The woman says, "You call us heathens. If what you say is true, we cannot be holy." Her words are no longer insolent or ironical. And Jesus says, "A heathen can also be virtuous, and God, who is just, will reward him for the good he has done. It will not be a complete reward, but I can tell you that between a guilty believer and an innocent heathen, God looks at the latter with less severity. And if you know you are such, why do you not come to the true God? What is your name?" "Photonai." "Well, tell me, Photonai, Are you sorry that you cannot aspire to holiness because you are a heathen, as you say? Or is it because you are in a haze of an old error, as I say? Yes, I am sorry, she says. Well then, why do you not live at least as a virtuous heathen? Lord! Yes, can you deny it? Go and call your husband and come back here with him. I have no husband. The embarrassment of the woman increases. You have spoken the truth. You have no husband. But you have had 5 men, and you have one with you now who is not your husband. Was that necessary? Your religion condemns obscenity. You don't have the Decalogue to. Why then, Photonai, do you live like this? Are you not tired of the exertion of being flesh for everybody instead of being the honest wife of one man only? Are you not afraid of the evening of your life when you'll be all alone with your memories and regrets and with your fears? Yes, all those. Fear of God and of ghosts. Where are your children? The woman lowers her head completely and does not reply. You have none in this world, but their little souls, whom you prevented from seeing the day of their birth, are reproaching you, and they always will. Jewels, beautiful dresses, a splendid house, a bountiful table, but emptiness and tears and interior misery. You are forlorn, Photonai, and only through sincere repentance, through God's forgiveness, and consequently through your children's forgiveness, you can become rich again. Lord, I see you're a prophet, and I'm ashamed. Jesus continues, and when you were doing evil things, were you not ashamed of yourself before the Father who is in heaven? Do not weep out of dejection before the man. Come here, Photonai. Come near me. I'll speak to you of God. Perhaps you did not know him well, and that's why you've been so faulty. If you had known the true God well, you would not have degraded yourself so much. He would have spoken to you and supported you. Lord, help me to see what I must do. You speak holy words, I know, because we also know that the Messiah is about to come. The Messiah, he who is called also Christ. When he comes, he will teach us everything. Not far from here, there is also one who is said to be his precursor, and many go and listen to him, but he is so severe. You are kind, and the souls of poor people will not be afraid of you. I think that Christ will be good. They say he's the King of Peace. Will it be long before he comes? I have told you that his hour has already come. How do you know? Are you perhaps one of his disciples? I, who am speaking to you, am Jesus Christ. You! The woman who had sat down near Jesus stands up and is about to run away. Woman, why are you running away? Because I'm struck with terror at being near you. You are holy. I am the Saviour. I came here because I knew that your soul was tired of wandering. You're disgusted with your food. I have come to give you a new food which will remove your nausea and tiredness. Here are my disciples coming back with my food, but I've already been fed by giving you the first crumbs of your redemption. The disciples have just arrived, glance at the woman out of the corners of their eyes, more or less prudently, but no one speaks. She goes away, forgetting about her amphora and the water. Here, Master, says Peter, the people have treated us very well. Here is some cheese, some fresh bread, olives and apples. Take what you want. Are you not eating? You look tired and pale. I have a food which is unknown to you. I'll have some of that, and it will restore me considerably. The disciples look at one another inquisitively, and Jesus replies to their silent questions. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish the work which he wants to complete. When a sower sows the seed, can he say that he has done everything and thus state that he can reap the harvest? Most certainly not. I say to you, come, reap the harvest in my field. I'm glad that you burden yourselves with the sheaves of my corn. When you have harvested all the corn that I, without ever tiring, have sown everywhere, then the will of God will be fulfilled, and I will sit at the banquet of the celestial Jerusalem. A little while later, Jesus sees a group of Samaritans coming towards him, led by Photoni. He tells his disciples to be kind to them. God be with you, Rabbi. This woman has told us that you're a prophet and that you do not refuse to speak to us. We beg you to stay with us, because if it is true that we're cut off from Judah, that does not mean that only Judah is holy and that all the error is in Samaria. Amongst us, there are some just people. Jesus replies, I told her exactly the same. I will not impose myself, neither will I reject those who seek me. You are just. The woman told us that you are the Christ. Is that true? Reply to us in the name of God. I am. The epoch of the Messiah has come. Israel is united by her king, and not only Israel. Jesus explains how he has come for all people, including Judeans and Samaritans. His words have a profound effect on the people present. They invite him to stay and to explain his teachings further, and he spends 2 days with them in Sychar, listening to their questions, offering his advice, and making friends with the children. When the time comes for him to say goodbye, the people express their sorrow, and he says to them, pray and be truly converted by returning to true wisdom, which is the wisdom of God. Those who believe in that word will reach eternal life. I leave you, citizens of Sychar, who have been good to the Messiah of God. I leave you with my peace. They go with him for a few hundred yards out of town, and then they slowly go back.